Good evening. Welcome to City of Angels and the show Families and Recovery. My name is Bill, and I'm here with my lovely wife, Kathy.
Hi, how you doing?
You can reach Kathy and I at Kathy and Bill, and that's Kathy with a C, and Bill at cityofangelsnj.org. We would appreciate if you email some ideas and concepts. You can call City of Angels for help at 609-910-4942. City of Angels offer a wide variety of help to the community, including NAR-NON meetings, Heroin Anonymous, AA step meetings. We have radio shows, and you go to coaradio.com and hear all our radio shows, including Families and Recovery and all of our past shows. You have Share Your Scar shows, Healing Starts Here shows, Wings Over Water, Living Clean and Sober, Johnny Rags, Wellness and Recovery, Nancy Tonelli, Relationships and Recovery with Alex, and Saving Lives, Tom the Redneck Clark. And finally, we have Sunday night, 5 to 6 p.m., Journey Through the 12 Steps with Life Recovery Bible. And that's our segue, because tonight's topic is Came to Believe. You know, our lack of power, that's our dilemma. You know, we have to find a power which we could live with. And it has to be a power greater than ourselves, obviously, because we can't do it on our own. But where and how do we find this power? That's exactly what the big book and our show is about tonight. Its main object is to enable you to find a power greater than yourself, which will solve your problem. That means that the big book and our show tonight is what we believe to be a spiritual as well as a moral. And it means, of course, that we're going to talk about a higher power or God as we know him.
For our charge for tonight, I took it from The Language of Letting Go by Melody Beattie, and it's February 1st, and it's on step two. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. We come to believe in a better life through the powerful gift of others, hearing them, seeing them, watching the gift of recovery at work in their lives. There is a power greater than ourselves. There is real hope now that things can and will be different and better for us in our life. We are not in a do-it-ourself program. We do not have to exert willpower to change. We do not have to force our recovery to happen. We do not have to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps just so we believe that there is a power greater than ourselves, one who will get the job done in our lives. This power will do for us what your greatest and most diligent efforts could not accomplish. Our higher power will restore us to sanity and beneficial life. All we do is believe. Look, watch, see the people around you, see the healing they have found. Then discover your own faith, your own belief, your own healing. Today, regardless of my circumstances, I will believe to the best of my ability that a power greater than myself can and will restore me to a peaceful, sane way of living. Then I will relax and let him do that.
Thank you very much. That's great, Kath. Matter of fact, let's start then by defining, like breaking down that sentence, come to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity.
Yeah.
Let's break that down. So I'm going to start and I'll say, came to believe would be defined as that I moved closer or have arrived at that place of believing. So I came to believe. It's a process to get there. Matter of fact, in a Bible, one of the people who wrote in the Bible, Paul, he said this, that he had not arrived yet, that he was in the process. So here's a guy who wrote the Bible, said, I haven't arrived yet, but he was coming or in the process, came to believe and in that process to get there.
So then we come to believe, which means to have confidence in the truth of something.
So power then is defined as one that has the ability to act or have an influence on others and therefore influence on us.
So then the word greater, superior in quality or character is another way to look at get greater.
Absolutely. So this power who can act and have an influence on us that is superior in quality and character than we are, can restore, to restore us, to bring us back and put us to a former condition, a healthy condition, sanity in our minds.
Last word, sanity, is the state of mind of having a sound mind and good reasoning. So I kind of did a recap on what step two is in my own definition. We are in the process of moving towards confidence in something powerful and influential outside of ourselves that has the ability to bring us back to or beyond what we once were with sound mind and good reasoning.
All right, so let's start with coming to believe. First of all, there's those who feel like they're atheists or agnostics. They can't even see or believe in a higher power. And then there's those of us who may be Christians or Muslims or do have a spiritual base behind us, but we really haven't fostered it and encouraged it. And so it seems impossible then to us to think about how do I even come to believe? It just doesn't seem possible for me. But yet to continue in the means and the way and the directions that you have been going would end up being a disaster. You're at where you're at now, total chaos and collapse. And so we have to ask ourselves, how do we become, get to that place of believing? Our human resources have failed us. You have not been able to successfully overcome your codependency and your dysfunctionalism. You haven't been able to successfully overcome your addiction and your alcoholism. So we see that in and of yourself, there's not been enough sufficiency. And so we have failed to fix ourselves and for us codependents to fix others.
Yeah. And Bill, I've seen, in my meetings, the Naranon meetings that I go to, difficulty arises when, we start to talk to the new people about how we've found hope and how we've found changing. And then the minute we start to talk about a spiritual matter, we mention God, their face, that goes down and they like, oh no, they thought they got rid of that whole experience of God and they just don't want to go there anymore.
They can't see it happening in their lives. So they kind of like, they automatically have a negative reaction to it.
Exactly.
Yeah,
you roll their eyes.
So actually you come in with a bias.
Yeah. Oh,
a bias
yeah,
and a prejudice. As soon as you hear somebody talk spirituality, you go blank. Your brain goes blank. You have a negative relationship to spirituality. And so you automatically shut down.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Yeah.
So I know how they feel.
I had some struggles with God too when I first got into recovery. I didn't really want a whole lot to do with him. I really thought he was a mean God. He wanted to push me off the edge of a cliff. And so I really had to, just struggle with the idea that faith and dependence upon a higher power beyond herself was somewhat weak or even cowardly. How could a supreme being have anything to do with me, But then sometimes we look up at a starry sky and say, wow, where'd that all come from? But that's fleeting, We don't keep hold of that.
Yeah, yeah. So if you think about it, let's look at it from this direction. I guess our challenge to you is to change, how can we change our mindset in relationship to entertaining the idea or considering the idea to address and maybe to engage the spiritual side of ourselves. If you think about it, over the past 100 years and so, think about how things have changed. The way people think about things has changed. Complete liberation of thinking, right? It's characterized by our ability to discard old thoughts, biases, prejudices, concepts, and move on. Can you imagine when the first people thought about the horse and buggy and they thought about, getting into a car? Get out of here. No way is that going to happen. Today, we just move on from one come to believe in, whether it was from the horse to the car, to come to believe in cell phone technology, Fitbit, Facebook, Twitter, and the newest social media. We discard them and we move on to the next thing so easily. And we change and come to believe in the next thing. Why haven't we allowed ourselves to come to believe in the next thing? Like, another example would be the Wright brothers.
Yeah. Did you all know that even in the last century, American newspapers were afraid to print the account of the Wright brothers' first successful flight at Kitty Hawk? Hadn't their efforts have failed before, and didn't Professor Langley's flying machine go to the bottom of the
Potomac River?
Was it not true that the
best mathematician minds
prove it could never happen? Had people said, God just left flying to the birds?
Yeah.
But 30 years later, the conquest of the air was almost an old story and airplane travel was in full swing.
Yeah, exactly. So again, all of these examples of where people just come to believe and change the way they thought, forced into it, the Wright brothers' childish faith that they could build a machine, flew into the face of the skeptics, those who had negative experiences in life regarding modes of travel. And without that faith, coming to believe that they could come to this place to be able to create flying, it would have never happened. So again, the agnostic, the atheist, they're sticking to this idea of self-sufficiency. You know, when others in a program have said to them, God's sufficiency has worked for them, that through the spiritualness, they have come to see a power greater than themselves work and heal them and restore them to sanity. And so some of us, we start to question, maybe we should start to question, we're like being those old agnostics or people that were just critics and cynics about the way man would fly or think about speaking on a cell phone, or now they're speaking to a wristwatch on your hand and your whole computer could be on your wrist. Insane thinking, but now it has happened, so you come to believe. And so our challenge is to move toward that. You know, we it seems like we want to hold on to the beliefs that we can fix ourselves, right? Think about it. How many years have you been chasing your addict in your life? How many years have you been chasing them, right?
Uh-huh. How's that working for you, as Dr. Phil would say? Yeah,
that's what how's that successful? No. And if you're the addict, how many years have you been struggling? So we want to hold on to this, you know, we stay stuck. We hold on to belief. We can fix ourselves. Let me just continue in the path I'm going. And we don't even allow ourselves to come to believe. We don't allow ourselves to entertain the spiritual. Why don't you start over? You know, why can't we just turn around and say, all right, I'm willing to be made willing to think about that there's a higher power. You know, we have troubles in our relationships, emotional troubles. We struggle with misery, depressions. You know, we can't make a living. We have a feeling of uselessness. I can't fix the addict. You know, so why don't we apply to our human problems the same readiness to change our point of view as society over generations have changed their point of view as it relates to technology and advances? So why can't we just do it when it comes to our personal, spiritual, emotional self to come to a place of believing?
Yeah, just this past Sunday, I was in a workshop, and you know, it's interesting to watch how they're, you know, some of the people are willing to start laying aside their prejudice and express a willingness to believe in a power greater themselves. You know, they see the results that we say we've had. And even though they thought it was impossible for any of them to fully define or comprehend that power, which is God, but they did it.
Yeah, they did do it. And I like that thought about laying aside prejudices and biases. When I do Bible studies, the first thing I do with people is I ask them, what are some inhibitors for us to come to know God or our higher power? And they list them. TV has a bias against religion and spirituality and negativeness. You may get life experiences if you've been ever abused by a person in a spiritual position. You know, a priest has abused a child. And so we become negative, what, on all religion? That means everybody in the spiritual realm is bad because some priest did. You know, other people who aren't spiritual abuse children also. So we turn around and have these biases. All evangelists are after money. That's all they're after. And you have those biases that are incorporated in you that have been passed down to you from generation to generation. And you end up turning around and holding on to those belief systems. What I ask the people in my Bible studies to do is put aside those biases. Start fresh. Put them aside. Don't go judging all of the higher power based on your life experiences, past experience. Put them aside and start over.
What do we think a power greater than ourselves is? You know, what's it mean to you? What's it mean to you, Bill? You know?
Right.
Some of us think a power greater than ourselves is the principle that governs the universe. You know, we don't have to completely understand it. But, you know, sometimes we notice that when we stay connected to God, we have a better day. We feel better, hopeful. You know, we have things go better for us in that day.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I think the thing is, am I willing to be made willing? Am I willing to entertain the idea? So that is the one short question. Would you entertain the idea that maybe there is a higher power, and that higher power has your best interest in mind, and that higher power is greater than you? See, some have this thought that they can't make use of this higher power unless they understand everything about it. And remember, we just talked about past experiences and the impacts on that you have. So you have negative biases against the higher power, maybe because of the way you were raised, your family was negative about it, life experience was negative about it. So then we say, well, unless we understand and accept all these concepts of a higher power, no, you don't have to make it that complicated. You don't have to have all the answers. Keep it simple. You know, have you ever sat around and seen somebody who's spiritual or listened to them talk at one of the meetings or programs and say, wow, that person just seems so focused, centered, at peace. You know, I just sense that they're at peace with where they're at in their life. And I see what has been accomplished in their lives. And they give credit to their higher power for doing that. Can I come to believe as that person comes to believe? Well, that person's where they're at because they've been doing a spiritual journey. They have started somewhere. They had come to believe, but they might not have seen the fruits right away either. They had to, you know, grow into that faith. The faith grows deeper and deeper. Just like when you come to believe in technology or anything else. At first, you might have been a skeptic, and then you believed in whatever, Fitbit or something else.
So I love my Fitbit.
I know you do. That's why I come up with it. So the point is, can you take some comfort in knowing that you can start at a simpler level? A simple level that just says, okay, God, you exist. Get involved in my life. And then and see what doors open up and where that can lead you.
Yeah. Another thing is we don't have to take on the concepts of others.
Right. Yeah.
We don't have to believe in a God of other people. We have to believe in a God of our, you know, our own thought process. You know, my recovery with being abused, I had to completely throw out the whole idea of God and what I thought. And I had to come up with a whole new thought process of what God was, that he's a loving God, that he's forgiving, he's merciful. So I had to completely come up with my own version of what God was to me. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, when I think of my Christian faith, I have many deep relationships with other Christian brothers and sisters, and we don't all think the same way. Mm-hmm. And that's the whole point. When you're in your program, the 12 steps or Nardon, you turn around and say, I accept that people are at different levels, different steps in their process, and you accept those differences. You don't sit there and argue and fight them and fight about it. So it's the same with your spiritual walk. I believe right now at a certain level in relationship to a higher power, and you may not understand all of that, and you don't have to. You can start at a simple level. We could have different ideas and concepts about our higher power and about God as he works in our lives and begins to change us and to mold us and to heal us.
Yeah, you know what we need from a higher power was the power to be present in our lives as a guiding force. I found that God could take me to a greater place of healing and enables all of us to be the best man and women that we can be.
And when you look at others and see how their lives have been changed because they've relied on a power, that tells you something. That's a witness to you, they call it, a witness to you of people's lives being changed.
Or what about when you start to see, you know, something, you had lack of patience, and all of a sudden you start to have more patience.
Yeah, you see the fruits of it in your own life.
Yeah,
you start out doubting that there's a power of God, but you actually start believing there's a power in God. And you see others were changed by it. You see hundreds of people, recovering people, say to you and testify that it's by the higher power that has been working in their lives, that has changed their lives. You see, so what we have to come to, because some of us turn around and say this, some people say this, I don't think I could come to believe. I don't think I even have faith. What do you mean? How do I come to believe in, they want to say like an abstract thought of God?
Yeah.
Is he more than abstract? He's tangible. But I can't come to believe that. Well, that brings us to an interesting thought. So let me turn around and say that you can believe. You say, what do you mean I can believe? Well, for instance, you already have faith. You already have certain kinds of faith. For instance, you have believed that you could fix yourself. So you have faith. You have faith that you could do it. Now, in that case, it failed. But we believe the higher power won't fail. But you have had faith in yourself, in confidence in your own ability to figure it out and solve and problem solve your addiction or your codependency. That is some sort of faith, right? But your faith in the God of reasoning. But really that faith, you know, has been around the whole time. That is like faith.
We found that we've been worshipers too, Bill. You worship people, places, sentiment, things, money, ourselves.
Yeah.
We've loved people, other things.
Yeah. So the whole point is you have had faith in people. You have had faith in all the money. You've had faith in things or whatever. So the bottom line is you can't say that it's impossible for you to have the capacity to have faith in God because you have been exercising faith. In one form or another, you have been living by faith in all these other things. So actually, deep down, every man, woman, and child has this fundamental idea of God. It may be obscured, though, as we mentioned earlier, from calamities, abuses that we have experiences, prejudice and biases we may have inherited from TV or our parents and so on. But in reality, we have some faith. It's been given to us. For the Christians, the Bible says everyone has been given a measure of faith. So everybody has a little bit of faith to be able to believe in God. Maybe you just haven't exercised it and strengthened it, but that can be done. So we do have faith in some kind of God as part of our makeup. And if you look at it, it really should be something that's like having this relationship with a friend. But you may have to search for it. You may have to look, how do I establish that relationship to God? How do I get that friendship going like I have with a friend? Well, you have to spend time with that friend to get that friendship going. You're going to have to spend time with this higher power. And how are you going to do this? You know, you're going to have to do it fearlessly, unbiased. You know, letting go of previous prejudice and thoughts and how we thought of God in the past and rephrase that of how we could look at him going forward.
We have this quote from the big book, and it's from page 53. This only clears the ground a bit. If our testimony helps sweep away prejudice, enables you to think honestly, encourages you to search diligently within yourself, then if you wish, you can join us on the broad highway. With this attitude, you cannot fail. The consciousness of your belief is sure to come to you. When we became alcoholics, codependents, and addicts crushed by a self-imposed crisis, we could not postpone or evade. We had to fearlessly face the proposition that either God is everything or else he is nothing. God either is or he isn't. What was our choice to be?
Yeah, and what is your choice going to be? I mean, by listening to the show, by doing those steps that you're doing, you're already moving toward the shore of faith. You're moving across the bridge of reason away from just soul reasoning and moving toward the shore of faith. Friends, hands have been extended to you, stretched out and welcome to welcome you to the spiritual journey, right? That's what the whole program's about, supporting each other in that. We're grateful that your reasoning has brought you to this point to start considering the spiritual side of your recovery. But maybe you somehow haven't been able to step ashore into that faith, but we need to be able to do that. Perhaps we've been leaning too heavily on reason, and we need to believe in that power greater than ourselves and others to pull us ashore. So maybe throw up a little prayer. God, if you're out there, save me. What I want to be able to say then, if you choose just to continue on your reasoning, how well has it worked for you so far, I think Kathy said earlier? Think about life without faith. Think of it without this spiritual empowerment. It wouldn't be life. It may be what you have right now. Are we still going to say that the spiritual power greater self is nothing? That this whole life is nothing but a mass of electrons created out of nothing? Meaning nothing? Whirling onto a destiny of nothingness? The electrons themselves seem more intelligent than that reasoning. At least even believer chemists that have looked at and said there's intelligent design, there's a power outside of themselves. Hence, reason isn't everything. But through faith in God, a power greater than ourselves and mankind can restore us to sanity.
So what is sanity? I think it's going through life connected to a higher power and living out God's will for us each day. Maybe sanity is being willing to do things that are good for us and walking away from those things that aren't. Can God restore us to our right mind? Some of us say yes. He came to all of us who have honestly sought him. When we drew near to him, he disclosed himself to us.
Given us the ability and enabling us to overcome addictions and codependencies. As the power of God flows in and through us, we enjoy a peace of mind. We discover that we can face life successfully. And we become more and more aware of his presence. We begin to lose our fear of today, tomorrow, or of the hereafter. That feels like sanity. Sometimes we wonder, we ask ourselves this, why in step two does it say the power outside of itself could restore us and not would? Because he says could is talking to the unbeliever. And I'm saying to you, he could. But he's not going to force himself on you. That would be a would. But he would if you give yourself to him. And so if you cry out to God, a higher power as you know him, and just say, take control of my life, then he would work into your restoration to sanity. Because whether I will be restored to sanity or not remains a part of my decision making. What is required is that I come to believe and accept that the God of my understanding has the capacity that could, and if I so choose, would restore me to sanity.
So our question to you in closing is, are you willing to come to believe that a power greater than yourself can restore you to sanity? This is our prayer for each one of you today.
I hope you're enjoying our show tonight. We're now going to go into our spiritual section. And tonight I'm going to talk to you about the parable of the little brown seed. Tonight's spiritual segment is an excerpt from a sermon that I gave a couple weeks ago. If you'd like to hear the sermon in its entirety, you could go to our Facebook page, Families and Recovery, City of Angels. And I want you to think about this parable as I give this parable about us and our lives and the struggles that we go through and the process of coming to understand our higher power and a change and transformation in our lives. And so our story starts with the little brown seed underground, all alone. And if a little brown seed could have a thought, maybe it would begin like this. Yeah, I'm a little brown seed. I am the seed. Yeah, I am all there is, the only seed. I live to myself. Now, you and I know that that seed is totally ignorant, that it doesn't live to itself. And there's other things out and about it, such as God doesn't leave that dumb seed to himself. God has put into the sky a bright sun. And he puts things into the soil, like water, bloop, 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 and molecules, bloop, 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 and nutrients, bleep, 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 and minerals and elements and microbes that are all in that soil. And something begins to happen in life to that little brown seed, because you see, the sun, the life-giving rays of that sun, warms the soil and nutrients, and they begin to bring together those nutrients and molecules and water in the ground, and it warms it up. And those microbes and nutrients and water team up together, and they form bands of molecules that love little brown seeds. And they go out looking for little brown seeds. They may form intervention teams. They may be family members. It may be AA meetings. It could be going to church, visiting your pastor or rabbi or whatever it may be. But they're out there, these helps, these nutrients in the soil, they're out there. And something begins to happen in the life of this little brown seed, because the next thing you know, all those nutrients and molecules begin to reach out to that little brown seed, and they surround that little brown seed. And they begin to love that little brown seed, telling it how valuable and precious it is, to pat that seed, to kiss that seed. And they start working on that seeding, and next thing you know, that shell begins to soften. And the seed realizes something, that there's something else out there. What? What do I feel? Ooh, this feels good. I like what I'm feeling. And the next thing you know, that seed sucks in all of that nutrients and water, and it starts to expand, and this shell begins to soften. And the next thing you know, it just expands and grows, and the cells begin to change within that little brown seed until one day that hard shell cracks. And it cracks wide open, and out comes a little whitish, brownish, greenish, like shootis of a little seed in the soil. And it's just sucking up all the love and support around it. And as it sucks up all that love and support, it begins to move up through the darkness that it lives in, that dark soil, and up it grows, getting taller and taller, reaching toward that warmth above, until one day it sticks its little brown, greenish shootus of a head out of the darkness into radiant sunlight. The rays of God's sun draws him up and farther from the darkness as that little seed on that little stem grows higher and higher, reaching toward the love that has been surrounding it, sucking in all of the nutrients and moisture from all of those teams, from the intervention teams or family teams or pastors and elders and rabbis, growing and growing and growing farther from the darkness. And finally, one day comes that it has taken in so much of the goodness from God's soil and what he has placed around that seed, and so much of God's love from the sunlight and air, that it explodes and bursts forth a beautiful giant flower. And it looks right into the face of God in God's sunlight, and he says, "Wow, it is so beautiful, God, to see you. I now understand that you have drawn me up out of the darkness. How much I love you, and I thank you for the sun and the soil, the nutrients that you have placed around me, the birds, the butterflies. However, one day, a dog comes along." And this is one of them feisty little dogs. You know, they bark at everything. And it kicks up dirt and it kicks up grass, because dogs just like to do that. And our little flowers over there, just growing and loving God and looking up into the sunshine. And that little dog looks over and says, "Oh, a flower. I hate flowers." And so our little dog goes over to that flower and it starts barking and kicking dirt and grass all over our little flower. Our little flower didn't complain, even though it was stuck and dirt all over it. It just stood there looking up into God's sunlight, praising God. "Thank you, God, for the team that's around me, the support that is around me, even when this bad is coming upon me. Lord, it's hard to praise you and thank you. I feel a little stiff today." And God looks down at that little flower and he says, "Oh, little flower, how precious you are." And he sends the little flower a little gift. All of a sudden you hear, and God rains down on that flower a little shower of rain, and it washes all the muck from that little flower, and that flower just beams up toward God in its beauty. And God robes that little flower in little diamond droplets as a misty rain fades away and the sun comes out to show the flower in its garb of diamonds and jewels. The flower don't open at night. It doesn't look around at the bugs in the darkness, but they look toward the light, the source of warmth and love. And one day our little seed now matures with the victory over darkness, the praise that he has for his higher power and God. He realizes, he looks at himself and realizes that he's covered with little brown seeds. Little brown seeds that spread to goodness to other brown seeds around them. The first step in our recovery, as we know it, is to become aware of our condition in that we are powerless to heal or fix ourselves. And the second step says to us there's a power outside of ourselves that can restore us to sanity. From our Jewish friends and the Torah, we get from Jeremiah 31:3. And it says that God has said to them, "Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." And so we have a higher power that really cares for us and really wants the best for our lives. That God has called us and has called us out of darkness, just like that little brown seed. And in Isaiah 42:16, it says, "I will bring the blind by the way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight." And in Isaiah 61:11, it says this, "For as the earth brings forth its bud, and as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord Jehovah will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations." So it says that a higher power, God, as we know him, has the power to cause righteousness. Righteousness means good living, healthy living. So our higher power really has our best interest in mind. Just like our little brown seed story, we now have to respond to this higher power that says it has the power to heal us, to move us and restore us to our sanity. Often we don't really respond in healthy ways to our higher power. You see, we could choose denial. That's a way to respond. Oh no, I'm really not that bad. I don't, you know, it's not that bad of a problem. I don't overfunction or underfunction. Oh no, the drugs aren't really controlling my life. Or you can respond another unhealthy way by turning around and making yourself look good. You know, people come around, you look okay, like you have it all together and you really don't have it all together. You could do things to make yourself feel better. So you can respond that way. So let me go help this person over here. Oh, I feel better. I'm okay. Or you know what? You can respond another unhealthy way by turning around and justifying yourself, by blaming others. Oh, if this person didn't do that, I wouldn't have used. Oh, if my son or daughter or addict in my life didn't do this, I wouldn't have overreacted the way I did and was inappropriate. So you can respond in many unhealthy negative ways, but we really want to respond like that seed responded to God's love. Seed responded to the nutrients and the minerals and the water that was in the soil. We need to respond to God's love in the things that he has put around us to heal us and restore us to sanity. Our meetings, interventionists if you need an interventionist, to go to rehab, healthy family members. And when it comes to spiritual things, maybe we need to reset the clock and go back to church or the synagogue, the temple. Maybe we need to do our research and see where we have misconceived about God, our misnomers about him, and reset and start over. Maybe we need to do some Bible studies and go back to church or the synagogue or temple. In closing, I want you to hear my wife sing this song that pretty much sums up what we're talking about here today.
Life carried me along. In my soul I yearned to follow God, but knew I'd never be so strong. I looked hard at this world to learn how heaven place and rain. course I could not start. And when he saw in full just how much his love would cost, he still went the final mile between me and heaven, so I would not be lost. Tell you where I'd be, wandering down some pointless road to nowhere, with my salvation up to me. I know how that would go. The battles I would
friend, I don't want you walking down some pointless road to nowhere with a life that is empty and on destructive mode. I want you to find peace and happiness, health and strength and joy and freedom. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow and how long that you have? Your life is like a morning fog. It's here for a while and then it's gone. And I want you to live it to the best and to the max. I want you to find that peace and joy and happiness. And those who trust in the Lord, they find that new strength. They find that happiness. They come to believe that God is true to his word when he says, I have come as a light to shine in this dark world, so that all who put their trust in me will no longer remain in the dark. But he encourages us to find him, to come to believe in him, and to continue in that belief and in that truth, and to stand firm in it, that he is going to work in your life a change and a healing, restoration to restore you to sanity. Don't drift away from the assurance that he has offered you. Don't entertain the doubt, but turn your life over to that higher power tonight. That is my desire and encouragement for you. I hope you have been blessed by this program. And if you have right now a need to talk to somebody, you can call over at the City of Angels at 609-910-4942. Good night and God bless.